Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Many of the people in this room for 4 years failed to cover the fact that Joe Biden was mentally incompetent and was not running the country. It is also true that many people in this room who have used this talking point that Elon is not elected fail to understand how government works. So I'm glad for the opportunity for a brief civics lesson.
Mr. Gentle Stephen Miller steps up to the podium yesterday in the White House press conference. No, nobody ever said Steve Miller was the sugarcoated guy. If you don't know who he is, it's understandable. He's been kind of one of these, key player in the former and current Trump administration, but very understandable. It'd be like the assistant defensive coordinator or something like that, on a football team. And if you're not a fan of that team, you may not know, okay? But he is the deputy chief of staff, so fairly significant personage in the Trump White House. And he says, look, y'all, you keep doing terrible things, including covering up for the former president and his incompetence. So let me just give you a little civics lesson. And when Stephen Miller says he's about to give you a civics lesson, he's about to give you a civics lesson.
A president is elected by the whole American people. He's the only official in the entire government that is elected by the entire nation, right? Judges are appointed. Members of Congress are elected at the district or state level, just one man. And the Constitution, Article 2, has a clause known as the vesting clause, and it says the executive power shall be vested in a president, singular. The whole will of democracy is imbued into the elected president. That president then appoints staff to then impose that democratic will onto the government.
Yeah, I mean, this is correct. Now, I'm gonna put a pre-asterisk out there that there's more to it than just what he's going to say, but the basics of what he's saying is correct. The only solitary repository of the will of the people in the federal government is the president, because it's the only office we all collectively get to have a say in. And they are the ones who get to say what the executive branch, the do it branch. OK, that's what executive means, is the actual doing of stuff. Maybe we ought to call it that. We ought to idiocracy down our government. We ought to have the making up the rules branch. That's the legislative. And we ought to have the doing it branch, doing it branch of the. Hey, if you can bring idiocracy and Beavis in, two different Mike Judge properties in, why not? And then we can have the referee branch. We shouldn't call it the judiciary, because most people can't even pronounce judiciary. Sorry, I'm feeling a little salty about the state of our current civics education in America. But so we'll have the making the rules branch, and we'll have the doing it branch, and then we'll have the referee branch of the federal government, and then maybe people will understand, because sort of vaguely like football or baseball. Anyway, he's right about this, okay? That the only place where you have the sole repository of the express will of the people is in the present. Now, there's more to it than that we'll get to in a moment, but yeah, that's essentially correct.
The threat to democracy, indeed the existential threat to democracy, is the unelected bureaucracy of lifetime tenured civil servants who believe they answer to no one, who believe they can do whatever they want without consequence, who believe they can set their own agenda no matter what Americans vote for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the people who feel like they can last past any administration because you can't fire them, they're too essential, nobody pays attention to them, the middle and medium high level bureaucrats. It's not the people who are in the cabinet. It's all the people just below that, or maybe two levels down from that, where those are the ones who they run everything all the time. And you think you get an election in, and then you get just the leaders change, but it doesn't change the underlying inertia of the whole thing. And so it's really just cosmetic is kind of what he's getting at. And so you have these unelected bureaucrats who have been appointed and kept their seats, and nobody's fired them because they're civil servants over all this time. Those are the folks, right?
The threat to... So Americans vote for radical FBI reform, and FBI agents say they don't want to change. Or Americans vote for radical reform on our energy policies, but EPA bureaucrats say they don't want to change. Or Americans vote to end DEI, racist DEI policies, and lawyers of the Department of Justice say they don't want to change. What President Trump is doing is he is removing federal bureaucrats who are defying democracy by failing to implement his lawful orders, which are the will of the whole American people.
Okay. Everything about this is true, but when you take the oath, when you get up on the stand in a court, what's the oath? It's, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Every part of that is important, right? Nothing but the truth, as in don't add in any error, but the whole truth is the hard one. That's the hard one. That's the context, the perspective, the don't leave anything out that would be important to know if you were trying to decide an issue. And in this case, Stephen Miller has told the truth and nothing but the truth. That whole truth part, he doesn't quite have it. And look, I'm a fan, I'm a supporter. Generally speaking, he's correct. What's the whole truth that he's missing? The entirety of the country could vote for a president with an agenda. I mean, 100% of the electorate. Like, he could get all the Electoral College votes. I mean, heck, he could get 100% of the popular vote. It still would not justify him in doing everything he thinks is right to do. Because we have a limit on what the president can do. What is the name of the limit? Say my name. What is the name of the limit on what the president can do? And if you at this moment are not screaming a single word at your radio, then we have trouble in this country. What's the word? Constitution. The Constitution is the limit on what anybody in the federal government can do. Period. And so the president, even if he got every single popular vote, even if he got every single Electoral College vote, still can only do what the Constitution allows him to do. So, yes, he is the sole repository of the will of the people in the federal government. That's true, in a single place. But the House of Representatives is a collective repository of the will of the people. And the Senate is a collective repository of the will. It's technically of the states, because the Senate was meant to be the place that the states were represented originally. And now we went to direct election of the Senate, which is stupid. We shouldn't have that. Don't get into a discussion with me about that. But we do. Okay, but still, the senators represent the state. That's why, for example, just again, Stephen Miller did some civics. I'm going to do a little bit more. The reason when a representative like Matt Gaetz leaves the House, the reason why you have to have a special election is because the House of Representatives represents the people. The reason when a senator leaves, like Marco Rubio, to go be Secretary of State, that you have to have an appointment by the governor is because the Senate represents the will of the state, and the governor is the embodied will of the state. Okay, and that's why they're treated differently. But in any case, the point is, you have different people collectively representing also the will of the people. But even if... and then they appoint collectively the president names, and then the Senate confirms people to the judiciary, the Supreme Court most specifically, and then they constitute courts lower to the Supreme Court. Okay, you put all of that together, and you still can't do everything that you want. Even if the House and the Senate agree, and even if the president agrees, you still can't do anything you want. Even if the judiciary, you can't do everything you want. Because, well, I mean, you argue that that would mean that they could, but the rules are there to restrain them. And if you want to be able to do things that are not explicitly allowed in the Constitution, you have to change the Constitution. And there's a process for doing that. It's very hard. We've only done it so many times. And every time we've tried it in the last 40 years, it has failed. So all I'm saying is this. In this conversation about what the president can do, it's not a question of whether he represents the people. He does. It's not a question of whether he has a mandate. He does. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't need 75 or 80% of the electoral vote or the popular vote in order to have that mandate. Winning the presidency is the mandate. Kind of like, you know, Dominic Toretto. Whether you win by a car length or you win by a mile, it doesn't matter. If you win the presidency, you have the mandate, period. You don't get, like, partial mandate president. It doesn't work that way. But even so, the president, whether he's got 51% or 100% of the electoral votes, he's the president. The president still can only do the things that the Constitution allows within the restrictions set by the judiciary and the House and the Senate and the other parameters of the Constitution. All right, so that's the problem. I hope what nobody is saying is we don't like what Trump is doing, therefore he can't do it. I mean, I'm sure that's also true, but that's irrelevant. What is relevant is we think the president, like it or not, doesn't have the authority to do this. And therefore, we go to the courts and say he doesn't have the authority to do this under the Constitution. And that's why you have to play out questions like the birthright citizenship up to the Supreme Court issue. So, again, Stephen Miller, love it. Great. Good. But you got to tell the whole truth. And the whole truth is that just because there's a court opposition to something the president is doing, that's not lawfare. That's not abuse. That's not targeting. I mean, it can be. But what it actually is, or you cannot fire these people. You don't have that authority. Or the House and the Senate have put together a construct called a department, and it's funded. And if you try to defund it or make it not work, you don't have the authority to just stop that only as you as the president. These are constitutional questions. And even if the president has the authority to be president, he doesn't have the authority to be the entirety of the federal government and do whatever he wants, unless what you think is that we elect kings every 4 years. And we don't elect kings every 4 years. So all of that kind of context perspective on the arguments that are going on at the federal level. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company and you have benefits, you got to deal with employees, you got to deal with payroll and, you know, health insurance, life insurance, disability, dental, all of that kind of stuff. And it's going great, great. I mean, I'm happy for you, right? Okay. But if it's not going great, or if you don't like doing that stuff, or if you wonder whether it could be done differently, then give Torgerson Causey a call. They're a local employee benefits agency. They've been in town here for more than 20 years helping companies like yours do this well. I know because they help us do it well for about 4 years. And I know by contrast because what we had before was, I mean, you know, whatever it was. And then they came along and I'm like, oh, well, this is better. We have good choices, better plans. And you guys are really good at answering our questions, like in detail, good questions. Because, you know, I'm a philosopher, ask questions. My wife is an engineer by trade. She asks questions. And very rarely do we run across insurance people who are, like, really good at answering questions. They're more like salespeople than technicians. At Torgerson Causey, they're both. And, like, Reed is always available for answering really good questions. So we trust them. We enjoy them. They are a great benefit to our company, Cat Country and News Radio. If you want to find out if there's a better way to do your benefits, give them a call, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Now, whatever your name is, get ready for the big surprise. You are not you. You're me.
The question you're asking yourself right now is, how long has it been since I've heard this song? 5 years? 10 years? 40 years? when did this song come out? Michael Mechanics, Silent Running? It's got to be like 88, 89, right? So
yeah,
37
what,
years?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
There you go.
But I like it, though.
I know. It's good. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom for his final day filling in for David Wayne this time around with our headline. Steve.
Hello. A new report claims President Trump is going to be taking over the U.S. Postal Service. The Washington Post says Trump is expected to issue an executive order as soon as this week to fire members of the USPS governing board and place the independent mail agency under the control of the Commerce Department. The White House claims, however, they're planning no such executive order.
I thought some women worked there.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Said it was an independent mail agent.
A federal judge is ordering the Trump administration to comply with an order to unfreeze foreign aid. U.S. District Judge Amir Ali issued the order yesterday, but didn't hold the administration in contempt of court for skirting that directive. The administration's been keeping thousands of contracts and grants from the U.S. Agency for International Development and the State Department suspended or canceled, despite the restraining order that the funding be restored. Well, Connor McDavid lifted Canada to a 3-2 overtime win over Team USA in the championship game of the Four Nations face-off at Boston. McDavid, he netted the game winner just over 8 minutes into the overtime period to help Canada avenge its loss to the United States last weekend. And the battles begin, I guess, between Canada and the U.S. on the ice, and that's what's happening.
I will tell you, Steve, that you and my wife have one very important characteristic in common.
Oh, yeah?
You both ignore my jokes. 437-1620, Steve, thanks for the update. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going? Remember we told you the USS Truman got run into or ran into or something happened with it in a very large commercial vessel, a merchant ship near the Suez Canal? As often is the case, what happens when a ship, the U.S. Navy ship, gets bumped into by something? They fire the captain, right? And they did, in fact, fire the captain. Of the skipper of the ship. And in what's a little bit unusual, what the Navy always says is, you know, loss of confidence in their ability to lead. It's a very generic term for he got to go, or she. And in this case, they actually more tied it to this particular incident, which is a little bit unusual. They don't normally be, I mean, obviously we would look at this and say, well, certainly that was the reason. But anyway, they have a replacement. Now, Captain Chris Chowda Hill, I think that's the guy who did the big interview on 60 Minutes. If I remember correctly, he was the Dwight David Eisenhower skipper for last year, and he was, you know, involved in the defending the aircraft carrier and all the action against the Houthis in the Middle East. I think that's who that is. I could be wrong, but I think that's who that is. Another kind of an interesting little story, at least I thought so, was you have, you know how we here, like we have ST Engineering, and so we have training programs to teach people how to be, you know, mechanics and airframe and work on the maintenance, repair, and overhaul for that. You know, like our school is geared to produce people who have the skills that they need so that they can go work in that industry. That's, you know, the whole like career technical training aspect of our educational system, the career academies where students go in one period a day, they learn how to get certifications often in particular areas that they'd like to go into. And this is a great thing. We did not have this when I was a kid. I think this is a wonderful thing in local education and, I mean, across the state, and it's becoming more common, you know, nationally. At Charles Barnum Elementary School in Groton, is that how you say it? It's Groton, right? Connecticut? Groton? Pardon me if I get that wrong. That's where they build subs at the General Dynamics Electric Boat Company. They're actually training people from even elementary school how to be prepared to be able to work on subs. Now, they focus on it more in, like, the high school area, but they've got students at El Grasso Technical High School in Groton that are working, you know, in hot, cramped spaces just like submarines so that it becomes familiar to them and they're, like, prepared to go build these submarines. I think that's great. And by the way, the more people we can train and equip to be prepared to do shipbuilding, I mean, that's all good. It's actually one of these things how, you know, the president is talking about giving us the DOGE refund, like taking the money that is found by Elon Musk's organization and, you know, the savings to the federal government and talking about giving us 20% of that money as a payout. No.
Please, I need it.
How much money is it going to be, do you think?
I was hoping $5,000, but I'll take a dollar.
If you have $50 billion and you divide it up, it's about $150 a piece.
Oh.
Who cares?
Well, I'll take a dollar.
No, no. Spend it on shipbuilding. Take the money and spend it on shipbuilding and infrastructure improvements and improvements to our Navy. I mean, use it to do the big investment that needs to have been done 30 years ago and get us back on course in some kind of parity with China. You can have my $150. I do not care. Don't, you know, make me feel so good about this little trinket of money. Do something substantial with it.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. While you were sleeping, the Senate was working all night into the early morning.
On this vote, the yeas are 52, the nays are 48. The concurrent resolution, as amended, is considered agreed to.
Fox's Chad Perkman explains.
This kind of sets the table for Senate Republicans to forge ahead with their approach to pass President Trump's policy agenda. This package focuses on border security, beefing up the military and energy production. Notably, the president said he preferred what the House plan is. It's a little more comprehensive because it includes tax cuts.
It's a $340 billion budget blueprint. The Israeli prime minister vowing today revenge, calling it a cruel and malicious violation of the ceasefire deal. Hamas did not release the body of the Israeli mother, who was taken October 7th by Hamas terrorists. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 28 degrees and downright chilly. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Escambia County confirmed that the federal government has canceled their contract with local lifeguards at Johnson, Langdon, and Opal Beaches. Escambia Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore told News Radio yesterday lifeguard service will be limited.
So this year we will not have our lifeguards at Gulf Islands because they pay for our manpower. It's an extra cost on me if I had to put lifeguards out there. And what our budget for the county includes is Casino Beach, Whitewater Beach, and we've now included Perdita Key. So we will be out there at those locations that we typically cover in the that the county's responsible for.
But Johnson Beach will not be protected.
Johnson Beach has a lot of people on it. There's a lot of people who are at Johnson Beach, and to be unprotected is kind of concerning.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, we do have our guys at Perdita Key now. They're at Beach Access too. While it is far away, it's closer than it would have been if we hadn't had Perdita Key stood up.
County officials say the need for lifeguards is imminent and the future of added protection for the Gulf Islands National Seashore remains up in the air. Escambia County commissioners are considering a new ordinance that may expand stormwater retention ponds on residential properties. The proposal would also add fencing and maintenance requirements for those ponds in the residential subdivisions, but there was some opposition to that particular ordinance. At yesterday's commission meeting, officials proposed a new solution involving larger retention ponds based on rainfall data by the Florida Department of Transportation. Some commissioners and citizens say that data is too old, though. And some developers say this new ordinance will come with consequences the county's not prepared for, like smaller lots in developments because of the larger retention ponds causing those lots to be more expensive. Commissioners voted to revisit this agenda item later this summer once the state legislative session is over. Governor DeSantis unveiled a statue of George Washington in the Capitol Rotunda yesterday as a part of the upcoming 250th birthday celebration of America in 2020. Governor DeSantis.
I'm glad that we have this statue here today. You cannot conceive of this having succeeded without George Washington. He truly was first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen.
The life-size bronze statue of America's first president will be on display for a year in the state capitol. America's 250th birthday celebration will be held on July 4th, 2026. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a very cold start to the day with temperatures in the 20s, warming up in the afternoon near 50 degrees for your high sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38. Going into Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 58 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. Going into Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 60 degrees. Small chance of rain as we go into late Sunday with a 20% overall. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, 28 degrees in Pensacola, 29 in Gulf Breeze, and 29 in Milton at 5:35. Next news is at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models, or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Scammy County Fire Rescue did not start the fire, but they will most certainly put that fire out. And they put a lot of fires out recently. EMS, emergency management, these are all divisions, and even the lifeguards are divisions within the Department of Public Safety. And the Director of Public Safety, Eric Gilmore, joined me yesterday, and we talked about a bunch of stuff, as we always do. And we did it quickly, because Eric and I are both fast talkers. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thanks for having me, sir.
You're welcome. All right, I want to get to the lifeguards and I want to get to EMS, but I did want to take at least a second and talk about how your agencies have had an extraordinarily boring month of January. I mean, you only had a tornado and a straight line winds, I think both. You had, Snowmageddon, and my God, the number of structure fires that we have had. I mean, the big news was the big, the boat warehouse or whatever, but I was just looking at the most recent director's report for your agency and structure fire on Mallory, structure fire on North Pine, structure fire on Rambler, on Bruce Street. I'm like, loads of structure fires, unfortunately, in the month of January. I don't know where you want to start, but man, your organizations have been pretty busy, unfortunately.
We have. January was pretty busy, but we'll start with structure fires and we'll work our way back. We have had an increase in structure fires. Unfortunately, it's due to inappropriate heating sources. We did have that snap of cold weather, and during that cold weather, inappropriate wiring of electricity or heating sources, inappropriate heating sources, But then we had that warming up a little bit, and then, of course, the structure fires kind of tapered off. But anytime it gets cold, people take chances with heating sources to try to stay warm, and we try to warn against that. Don't do that. And then we had the boat fire this past week. That was State Fire Marshal still investigating on what the actual cause was of that. And when you add a bunch of boats, a bunch of high-dollar boats that hold a lot of fuel, and, you know, every one of them's empty, right? So, you know, fuel, oil, and then fiberglass on top of it that burns hot and fast, it just makes a mess. And we had an outstanding response on that. And our mutual aid partners in City of Pensacola and Gulf Coast Services, appreciate them coming in, helping us out, and trying to get that fire under control. So,
I mean, that was 10, ten of your apparatus plus a bunch of others. I mean, I know this is maybe not the perfect comparison, but it kind of reminded me of how, like, every law enforcement agency in the local universe responded to the NAS Pensacola attack. That was kind of like the response to this massive warehouse fire, right? Just everybody came.
That's absolutely correct. It was all hands on deck on that one because it took a lot of manpower because you got a potential collapse, so you can't really go in and attack the fire like we do aggressively.
You have to do a
defensive attack. So, and then when you get collapse on the metal, you've got to pull all that off to get to the source of the fire. It exacerbates the scene a little bit more versus just the residential. And on top of that, while we had all those units there,
can I pause you for a second? Because I had not been thinking about this, and I'm so glad you mentioned it because it is.
Yeah.
So you can't go in because the roof can collapse. And also, you've got, let's say, boats, fiberglass, and oil, and fuel burning. And then when the structure starts to collapse on those, you have metal covering the source of the fire itself, which unfortunately doesn't extinguish it, or not fully. And so you have that additional challenge of even fighting the source of the fire. Did I hear you right? Am I thinking about this the right way?
You are absolutely thinking about it the correct way. It inhibits us from getting in there to the source of the fire. It was a red iron building with sheet metal skin, and it had to get really hot to warp that red iron and drop the ceiling on the boats and everything in there.
Wow.
So yeah, it does. Things like that really inhibit us from actually getting in there to the source of the fire and doing a quick knockdown on it. So.
And you had a tornado and a snowstorm.
Yeah, we had the tornado, the anomaly that happened last week. Dispatch called me, and we weren't supposed to have the inclement weather until the next day.
Right.
And they said, we're getting calls of a tornado in Ellison. And I said, guys, I don't have time for this. Quit playing around. And they,
right.
I hear a caller in the background. And sure enough, so I called up Travis and called Scotland. I called Scotland. I said, Scotland, what are you seeing on radar? And Scotland thinks I'm playing with her, you know, our meteorologist. And she goes, there. And she calls Mobile Weather, and they're going, Scotland, we're not seeing anything. And sure enough, we get out there and take the pictures and send in the Mobile Weather. And everybody's like, okay, something happened here. So we had a good response on that. We had a lot of units there making sure we did damage assessment, make sure everybody was accounted for. Had a lot of EMS resources there to make sure we took care of any potential patients, which we did. We had three. We transported two to the hospital due to debris, being hit by debris, and then one was treated on scene and refused. So,
yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I figured it'd be a zero at best, if anything, and it turns out to be a Category 1, which is, you know, wild.
I thought that too. I thought it would be EF0. It turned out to be EF1. So, yes.
And then you had the snowstorm from which everybody mostly had fun, including I saw the video of the fire truck driving through the snow in Perdido Key, which is kind of entertaining. But it's a learning experience, and you know, you grow from there. All right. So I want to get to the lifeguard thing because that's been the news of the day. Gulf Islands National Seashore says they don't have the money to pay you guys to contract with you to provide lifeguards at Johnson Beach and Fort Pickens. That seems like a big deal, but you tell me.
So historically, back in the day, Gulf Islands hired their own lifeguards. And they did their own thing, and we did our own thing. So we handled Pensacola Beach and all the and Whitewater Beach and those areas like that. Then they was having issues getting lifeguards themselves. They said, look, you guys do this. You're in the business. Let's just contract with you, and you throw your manpower out there. I was like, great. We'll form a partnership and do that. So this year they don't have the money to put lifeguards on Johnson's Beach, Henderson, Opal, Langdon. Those areas that the Gulf Islands National Seashore is in charge of.
Langdon is Fort Pickens over the wall, and Opal is down the way in the Gulf Islands between Navarre and Pensacola Beach, right?
That's correct.
Okay, go on.
So this year we will not have our lifeguards at Gulf Islands because they pay for our manpower. It's an extra cost on me if I had to put lifeguards out there. And what our budget for the county includes is Casino Beach, Whitewater Beach, and we've now included Perdita Key. So we will be out there at those locations that we typically cover in the that the county's responsible for. So we will be, as we are like clockwork, out there doing those things at those locations. But there will not be lifeguards represented at the Gulf Islands National Seashore or any of their parks this year.
Is it something, I know I did not see it on the commission agenda for today, but are you guys trying to seek the county to provide guards? Because even though it's you know, federal land, it's still kind of our territory. You know, we think of it that way. And I know having them in Perdido means that they're closer than they ever would have been before, but that's a long way from, you know, the station or the tower on county property out to the Johnson's Beach area. Same thing for Fort Pickens. You know, it's one thing to be at Casino Beach. It's another thing entirely to get all the way out to Langdon. Are you guys going to – are you seeking to have funding appropriated from the county to provide that coverage, or have you even had that conversation yet?
We have not had that conversation yet. We just found out Tuesday that this was taking place. Okay. So, you know, we're trying to gather our thoughts and figure out how this is going to impact us. Because last year, Johnson's Beach has a lot of people on it. There's a lot of people who are at Johnson's Beach, and to be unprotected is kind of concerning.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, we do have our guys at Perdita Key now. They're at beach access, too. While it is far away, it's closer than it would have been if we hadn't had Perdita Key stood up.
Definitely.
So, you know, I'll get with Dave Greenwood, I'll get with AJ and Jake, and we'll sit down and talk about it and see if we need to beef that up a little bit more just in anticipation or go from there. But we have not had that conversation yet if the county is wanting to actually put lifeguards out there. So we'll work through that and see how that
And by the way, I'll give an after-the-fact kudos to, you know, I sort of said some criticism about Jeff Bergosh for not really having a plan to put lifeguards out there, even though he called for it and the funding and staffing for all that. But look, it turns out in after the fact that having them out there gives this collateral benefit. So, you know, give the credit in that regard. Hey, what is the price tag on the Gulf Islands contract for the lifeguards? Do you know roughly?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I think we threw like $300,000, or they would put $300,000 in the PO account.
Okay.
And all we would do is if we put a lifeguard out there, then we would just submit their time card for payment to go file. I guess that PO is what we did.
Okay, so maybe $500,000 at most or somewhere in that vicinity, right? I mean, just ballpark
somewhere,
stuff.
If I had to estimate, somewhere in that vicinity.
So I have an idea, only because it happens to be top of mind for me right now. I don't know if this is within the statute or not, but what about TDC money? I mean, it's clearly tourism and safety related. I don't know if it's eligible under the statute, but that might be something you guys could look at to, you know, provide for that while it's not. I don't know, just a thought. It just occurs to me as we're talking.
No, so
one of the things I wanted to talk with you about is EMS. I know you guys are offering a $10,000 bonus. You're trying to get more people to come in. You're doing a lot of things to try to. We've bought some apparatus. We're trying to figure out staffing. I have a completely different kind of question that I want to ask you. You and I've talked many times over the years about, you know, held calls, holding the wall at the hospitals, how, gosh, it's been a year now since we don't report held calls anymore, at least the report that I see. Here's my request, though. I know you guys are always trying to make improvements, and you're dealing with a wide variety of factors. We've talked about this many times. What I would like to see as a citizen is I'd like to see a report that says, okay, during these day parts, what was the average response time? And by average, I mean the midpoint one is the one I think would be the key. Not necessarily the mean, because that might have outliers built into it. But the midpoint average response time for, you know, EMS across the county. And then what was the longest response time for that time period? And just give me that data so that we can really see, well, are we out of line with national standards or are we in line with national standards? And then how does it improve over time? I know, you know, maybe you have to do it for deltas and echoes, like the high urgency calls. And that's fine, too, if that's what it is. Maybe just response time averages for deltas and echoes instead of all calls. But it seems like creating some baseline informational chart like that would help us know how bad is it and how much is it getting better. What do you think?
No, we can look into that. That's no problem. We got Chief Watts. We hired him back in the fall, and he's done some fantastic things, done some good things of upgrading our EMS system.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at in March, he's doing a differential shift, so everybody had to do a shift bid. So he's looking at trying to get more trucks on during the peak time, so it could influence those times. So we've had to run with the new shift or the new schedule to see if we are hitting the mark. and getting more trucks on during the higher peak hours. So he's doing additional mid shifts. So he's doing a lot of neat things. And like I said, we got to try something. If we just sit there and stagnate and expect a different result, that's what the definition of insanity, right? So
right.
He is doing some things, some shift changes, shift scheduling to make sure we're trying to meet the peak demand. So, after we get some data under that, we're definitely going to be looking at that to see if we're meeting the mark now or getting better and improving. So, down the road, yes, we can absolutely do that.
Well, and that's – I mean, honestly – I want it as soon as possible because that would show us the where we're at and then where we get to if we make improvements. You know, that would be the ideal. And honestly, I don't really care about the alphas and the bravos because the low acuity calls, if they have to wait an hour, that doesn't bother me. But the deltas and the echoes are the ones I really want to know about. And, you know, so if we can, I mean, because this would help you guys too, because I know a lot of times, like what you see on social media is, well, they're holding calls again. And you're like, well, that doesn't tell the whole story. Exactly. This would be a way to tell the accurate, significant story, I think, unless I'm missing something, in a way that would be able to respond to, well, yeah, we're holding calls, but they were alphas, because here's the average response times for the D's and E's. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I can get with Chief Watts. We can have a discussion about that this morning.
Okay, awesome.
Absolutely. We can do that. So
excellent. Well, I would, you know, because I keep thinking about how frustrating it is to have not great information, and how can we make it more informative so that we can all as citizens have better confidence in the system and the improvements that are being made. Last thing I wanted to talk about with you was the cold weather shelters are open though, right? Just a quick note for people that might need to know that information.
Absolutely, they are open. So they'll be open during the duration of the cold weather event. So anybody needs a shelter, you know, Waterfront Mission, my father's been here. And I know I'm going to forget some of the other ones, but they're out there for sheltering while we're in this cold weather snap. Absolutely.
Today and tonight and today and all that. Okay, good. Last thing is, and we just don't talk about this enough, but what I think has been a raging success is the CORE program for remediating opioid addiction. Where are we at today?
So those guys have been knocking out of the park. They've been very aggressive. We have a small staff that does that, and unfortunately, we would love to take on more fake clients, but it takes so much to deal with somebody going through opioid crisis. So we, since 2023, April 2023 is when the inception of the program started. I believe, I can't remember the exact number, I know we're over 250 people that we have taken in our program and transitioned them into a better acuity to get them completely off their addiction. And that is a 87% success rate, which is phenomenal for
the
national average.
Yeah.
So those men and women in the CORE program are doing a phenomenal job. The hospitals are doing a good job helping us out, identifying people and getting them signed up in the program. And then our transitional partner, you know, Community Health in Northwest Florida, those guys do a great job of after we get done with the initial initiation into the program and transitioning to them for long-term care. Have done a good job to keep them off the addiction so that we don't have a repeat or a relapse. Now, we do have those onesies or twosies. We get relapses or somebody falls out of the program and we can't find them. That does happen, unfortunately. But the staff we have is very aggressive in trying to find them and find out what's going on and make sure that they get back into the program. Or, you know, sometimes they just get out of it and they don't want the help. But you got to want the help first to be successful.
No, so, I think it's a great success program. Yeah, getting somebody who calls you for an overdose, you put them on a truck, take them to a hospital, and then try to get them off drugs entirely. If you got 85%, I mean, if you had a 10% success rate and you got 10 people or 20 people or 30 people to stop using opioids and stop putting stress on the EMS system and harming themselves,
yeah.
I mean, it'd be great. But to have, you know, approaching 200 is amazing, a fantastic program. And I look forward to seeing other communities adopt the same program.
Absolutely. So we're working with some of the other counties in the Panhandle. Walton County's been over to see how we do our program and several of the counties out of South Florida because we've had such a good success rate. So it's those guys, those men and women in that program are very compassionate, very wanting to make a difference in the community, and you've got to have that, and we do have that. So we're very fortunate to start that CORE program and get that going.
Yeah, and also it's a chance for, because so much of the time in public safety, it's respond to the crisis. This is actually to solve the problem. And, God, I love that for the folks who are working on it, that they get that kind of real, you know, moral civic success kind of feeling. Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety in Escambia County. He and I both talk fast, and when we're together, we accelerate. Eric, as always, thank you for the time and thank you for what you're doing. Please pass along to your folks how much we appreciate everything they do. We'll talk to you again soon.
I will absolutely do that, Andrew. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, sir.
You know, when I used to teach, by the way, when I am teaching in front of a class, I'm not only speaking quickly, but I'm walking. I'm back and forth. I'm a pacer. When I can't do that with the microphone here. I kind of have to stand in one place. It's very frustrating. But when I'm teaching, I'm walking back and forth fast, and I'm talking real fast. And, you know, students, slow down. Stop moving. I'm like, no. Listen faster.
Listen faster?
Yes.
Is that what you
I
told
would
your
absolutely
poor
tell,
students?
Yes, listen faster. Yeah, it's fine. My goal was always to make a class and a radio show for so that nobody could complain they were bored or they weren't getting enough. Now, if that meant that, you know, we left a few people in the kind of like side wake.
Yeah.
Okay.
For
you know,
sure.
I'll take it. You know, I
did
know.
You have a lot of people recording your classes?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Because I would have been one of them.
Even one time, I remember toward the, seventh or eighth year I was teaching, somebody actually video recorded it all. Because he wanted to like produce an archive or whatever for it, which I thought was kind of honor. It was a student from a previous year who said, this is so good, I want to make sure, you know, so anyway.
Where are the archives?
In my house.
Well, okay.
554 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of houses, ready?
Yeah.
Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty are great at buying, helping you buy and sell them. And, you know, what I always think about with her is I think about our first experience and subsequent experiences buying and selling homes. And, man, I wish I would have had somebody like this when we did our first house. Because you don't know anything. You know, in your first home, I mean, it's scary. There's a lot of decisions to make. You don't know what you're doing. You just kind of, you know, hope for the best and pray. And then when you get all done and then you've done it a couple times, like, man, we could have done that a little bit better. Well, with Christina Leavenworth, if you have somebody like that for your first home, you just kind of avoid all that because she's so good. Her folks are so good. They're so experienced. They're seasoned. They sell, you know, over 200 homes a year, you know, for several years in a row. And then over the last 2 years, it's been 175 and 165. And, you know, that's not a knock on them. That's just the way the market has been. I mean, I look at it as anybody who's still selling 160-plus homes a year is doing something amazing. 3.5 homes a week. That's amazing, and that's what they do. So you get their expertise, their guidance, and all of that kind of stuff, and they'll get you all the way through to the closing. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone. In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter-pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You think you can drive a car and change the world? It doesn't work like that.
Maybe not, but it's the only thing I know how to do, and I gotta do something.
Did you grow up watching Speed Racer, John? Is that a show you
yes,
watched?
Yes, I did. Oh, my goodness.
Did you see the Wachowski Brothers live-action remake of it?
I did.
15 years ago? Something like that. Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, it was all right.
Only all right?
From what I remember.
I thought it was fantastic.
You're making me go back and re-watch things.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's good. That's good. Especially that one, which is, you know, that's a fantastic, I thought, a fantastic update remake. Let's see. We only got time for about a headline or so, but Steve Taylor will surely have it for us. Steve?
Well, the Senate's confirming Kash Patel as the next director of the FBI. That's coming up with Fox News, followed by local news. And I'm Steve Taylor, and that's what's happening.
All right. Find out why the word domestic is going to be canceled. Transgressors Memorial Service, the early service, comes up at 6:20. We'll tell you why. Stick around.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.